reaching a city to touch the world.
That you would touch each and every heart today. There would be a response of worship unto you. I thank you for what you're able to do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. How many of you came to worship the Lord tonight? I did too. I really did too. Thank you so much for right now. Because I came to worship the Lord so much. You can go ahead and sit down for a bit. I'm excited about tonight because I'm just hoping in the Lord that as I preach the word that you're going to see Jesus in a new way. And at the end, we're going to be able to just worship the Lord once again. I'm just hoping this that there'd be a revelation of Jesus in this place. And that our response would be once again to worship him. Amen. And the title of my message tonight is The Gospel According to Isaiah. I don't know how many of you were here last week. My name is Philip Steele. I preached out of Isaiah chapter 6, where we talked about Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and saw his holiness, his glory. And then when you see his holiness, you can see your own sinfulness. And then hopefully we'll be able to see his forgiveness. You know, and then we can say, Lord, here am I, send me. And I want to get into Isaiah. Actually, we're going to go into the book of Acts first. And we're going to see a little scripture out of Acts 8, and then we'll go back into Isaiah. Acts 8 is one of my favorite chapters of the book of Acts because it talks about Philip. And my name is Philip. Now, check this out. When I was a new believer back at the University of Minnesota, they gave me a prophetic word that I would be like, you'll be like Philip at the days of old, they told me. And the very next day on the campus, I talked to an international student from the country of Ethiopia. Now, we're going to get into Acts chapter 8 when Philip in the Bible talks to a person from Ethiopia. And that person, if he's reading the prophet Isaiah. So eventually I'm going to get to the scripture where he was reading from. But if you're with me and we're going to look in Acts chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. You see that? That's Philip. That's me. That's in the Bible. You got to be able to see yourself in the Bible, especially where it says, whosoever will call upon the Lord shall be saved. You got to see your name in there. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go to the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all her treasure. He had come to worship in Jerusalem. He had come to worship, and he was reading, returning, seating in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, we're going to get into that, Isaiah chapter 53. We'll get there in a minute. And he asked, the Ethiopian asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? He invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep that was led to the slaughter and like a lamb before its shearer he is silent, so he opens not his mouth. And in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So Philip was going along, and he finds this Ethiopian. He's reading out of the prophet Isaiah, like we're going to do in a minute. And the guy doesn't know what he's reading. He says, help me out a little bit. And so Philip begins from that passage and explains Jesus. How many of you know in Genesis, if you read Genesis, if you read Exodus, if you read Leviticus, if you read Deuteronomy, you read Joshua, Jesus is like on all the pages. You know, and as we get into Isaiah, like I mentioned last week, Isaiah was prophesying about 740 was the year King Uzziah died. Uzziah had been in power for some 50-odd years. You know, I know we went through a transition in our civil government as well. There was a transition in their civil government. It went from a good government. Uzziah was pretty good except towards the end of his life. And then from there on, it kind of went down. And Isaiah was able to prophesy and to lift people towards the Lord, prophesying even repentance, prophesying the judgment is coming. And then he even prophesied about Jesus, a lot of prophetic words about Jesus. And then he even prophesied about the second coming and the glory of the kingdom. You know, and when we talk about prophecy, there's a couple things that really get me. One of them is just the number of prophecies about Jesus. I've got a book, it's 100 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And I don't know, I look at some of those that they say are prophecies about Jesus and I don't quite see it. But there's a lot of them that are really, really obvious. 100 of them. Now, if I just did some numbers here and if I said, you know, Jesus fulfilled, you know, maybe 2 prophecies or maybe 3 prophecies. And if we just did a little bit of statistics, just like if he had a 50% chance of fulfilling one prophecy and then a 25% chance of fulfilling 2 prophecies. And then if we work it down, I did the math here a little bit. Let me see if I can get my numbers right here. If you're into math at all, I am a little bit. But the odds of fulfilling 25 prophecies would be like 1 in 33 million. And then as you go up, you know, it doesn't just double. It continues exponentially to go up. And the odds of him fulfilling 40 prophecies, so this is just a 50% chance of fulfilling one, which really it's probably be even less of a chance. But 40 prophecies would be 1 in a trillion. So what we could do is if I took out a trillion of these, this is a $1 bill. I wish I had a $100 bill. Had a trillion of these. If there were a trillion $100 bills, you could pay off some debt, I guess. But if I were to set these one next to another and mark one of them and then ask somebody to find the one that was marked on the first chance, blindfolded. But a trillion of these, I want to get this right again too, You'd have to do this, line up a trillion of these from the earth to the sun and back again. And you get one chance to find the one that's marked. That's 40 prophecies. Now, if we say 50 prophecies, I told you I got this book that said 100 prophecies. Oh, just stay with me for a minute. You'll see the greatness of God. And how is it that God was able to speak ahead of time about Jesus? We're talking where he was going to be born. We're talking about how he was going to be rejected. We'll get into it in Isaiah as well. We'll talk, you know, the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him, that he'd open the eyes of the blind, that, you know, there would be somebody that would betray him, and all these different prophecies, just the sovereignty of God. If we bring it up to 50 prophecies that he did fulfill, some people would say 100. I think 50. I think we can pick out 50. That one out of fulfilling 50 prophecies, I want to make sure I get this right. The odds are like 1.25 quadrillion, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion. That'd be like taking these dollar bills, laying them edge to edge, and if you take our solar system, the furthest planet, Neptune, I know Pluto got, you know, knocked out. So you'd go the diameter of our solar system 73 times of these kind of bills. I know you can't. I can't even follow myself when I'm saying these kind of things. It's just so much. But that's the greatness of our God. That's the greatness even of the prophetic words. Isaiah, we're going to get into in a second, prophesied 740 years before Jesus about his first comings. There's other prophecies about his second coming. You know, and not just the amount of prophecies. The other thing that kind of gets me in Isaiah, as well as in the other prophetic books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, that you mentioned, Pastor Donnie, Ezekiel, Daniel, all that, is that the prophets are not just speaking to God's people. It's not just like they're speaking, let's say, to the church, but they're speaking to all the nations. You look at Isaiah and all the different, you know, the word of the Lord for Egypt, the word of the Lord for Tyre and Sidon, the word of the Lord for all these different countries. And what that speaks to me is that our God is not just the God, you know, like inside the church. He's also God outside the church. He wasn't just the God for the people of Israel during that time, but he was the God of all the nations. You know, in that polytheistic society, they thought, you know, there's a God for the harvest, a God for fertility, and a God for the, you know, the Jews, and another God for the Moabites. And, you know, but then the Lord comes along through Isaiah, through other prophets, the word of the Lord for the Moabites, the word of the Lord for the Ammonites, and all these other ites that were out there. You know, so God is sovereign in this country. God is sovereign over your workplace. God is sovereign over your neighbors and your neighborhood. Just go ahead and grab one of those flyers. Invite somebody for the Friends and Family Day on Sunday. God is sovereign. You never know. He wants to save them more than we want them to be saved. He wants them to hear the word of the Lord. He is sovereign over all this. That's just a little bit of my thoughts, kind of my ruminations when I think about prophecy and the greatness of our God. Now let's get in. If we can get into Isaiah, we're going to get into Isaiah chapter 53. And really, we could start back in Genesis, but Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We're going to notice some of these words are repeated, like rejected, sorrows, grief. You'll see those words again. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Just got to pause. That's just such a good one there. But let's just keep going. Number 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. This is the one that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading as he was in his chariot. I guess it was customary, you know, to read out loud during those days. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. You see, that's the same one. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, as for his generation, who has considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? It's talking about Jesus. And I think Philip did such a good job of presenting Jesus. If you read in Acts 8 again, it's kind of a parallel passage. But the Ethiopian, his reaction was, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then history tells us that he went back to his country, Ethiopia, back to Africa, and what we have of the Church of Jesus Christ in Africa is a result of this Ethiopian taking the gospel. That's kind of what history tells us. But let's look at those words when we talk about Jesus, despised and rejected. And I think Pastor Donnie had something. I was kind of nervous. He's kind of stealing my message there for a second. You know, he's talking about, you know, we've gone through difficulties, we've gone through. And I know in a crowd of this big, I know that there's been people that have been rejected. And so what I want to do, you know, not so much, I know you've probably got a story to tell and it, you know, would be worth hearing that story. But what I don't want is for us just to hear the story and come to the conclusion that you've been a victim and you'll always be a victim and there's no hope. And the best that we can do for you is just to hear you and give you a chance to listen to some of that. I think we have a higher hope than that. I think that Jesus himself was rejected so many times. So I was preparing this message, this really hit me, that Jesus was so rejected. And I've even a list of the people that rejected him, starting with Herod, even in the Christmas story, when he was being, you know, he was born, and then Herod sends and wants to kill all the babies under 2 years old. That was rejection from the civil authority, rejection from... He was rejected by his family. You can look at the verses, but his family came. It says in one place, he says he's out of his mind. What they meant is he's lost some marbles. He's got a screw loose. He's crazy. Needs to take him to the mental institution. He thinks he's the Messiah. And so they wanted to take him. He's got a demon, is what they're saying. You know, he was rejected by his family. And I know in a room this big with this many people, if there's 100 people, there's 100 stories. And probably 120 stories of rejection. Because I think many of us have gone through different kinds. You know, as I go through this list, hopefully you'll be able to identify with one of them, that Jesus himself, because he was rejected, I think we can be accepted. And one of the interesting things about the Ethiopian eunuch, if I can just go back there for a second, it says he went up to Jerusalem to pray and to worship. And he could go into like the outer courts of the temple. But once he got into the, you know, the inner court, he couldn't go beyond a certain wall. And so as he was going back to Ethiopia, when Philip had the encounter with him, I think he even felt that, you know, kind of that rejection. I tried to go there. Josephus, the historian from that time, tells us that there's like a wall, and then there were some signage on the wall, like 13 of these signs that basically said no foreigner can go beyond this point. If he does, he will be responsible, personally responsible for his upcoming death. In other words, we're going to stone you and it's your fault. You can't go there. You know, you try to worship, you try to get in, and you're rejected. Jesus was rejected once and again and again. He was rejected by his disciples. John chapter 6, after he'd fed the multitudes with the fish and bread, and then he got down into some hard. He says, unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, you can't be my disciples. At the end of John chapter 6, Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And when people heard, eat, and it says many of them didn't follow anymore. Didn't follow. Rejected by his disciples. He was rejected by the Jews, by his community. He's got a demon. Isn't it right? We're saying he's got a demon. He's a Samaritan. To say somebody was a Samaritan was the most derogatory. You're just trash. That's his own people. He was rejected by the religious leaders of the day as well. The chief priests came against him with all the accusations that we get towards the end of his life. The Jerusalem crowds, the same ones that were saying Hosanna when it was the triumphal entry. 3 or 4 days later, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him, his own people. So if you've gone through any rejection, as I put up this big list of all this, don't say to me, nobody understands. God himself doesn't know what I'm going through. And, you know, I don't want to despise anybody's sufferings, because once again, I know in a group this big, there's been terrible things that have happened. But what I do want us to do is to look to Jesus. And that because he was rejected, we can be accepted. Because he knows what you've gone through. He can be that high priest that can come along and he can bring you to the Father. Jesus was rejected. The last one that I found in just a little bit of study that I did, it was enough. This list here, I think I had 7 altogether, is enough to break my heart just to see how Jesus was rejected. He was rejected, the last one, by the Roman soldiers. When they spit on him, they hit him. You know, if you're the Christ, if you're such a hotshot, you're the Messiah, prophesy, who's hitting you? He's rejected by them as well, the Romans. So he was despised and rejected. And again, I don't want to project something onto you. Oh, you're discouraged. Because I've seen it happen from the pulpit. I've probably done it myself. You know, where you want to get people to be encouraged, but you end up discouraging them so much that you put this stuff. You know, maybe you're more like me in the sense of, you know, I look at my life, and, you know, Pastor Corey tells about his stuttering problem that he was, you know, just, if you were here on Sunday, he talked about that and how God delivered him from that as well as from the hate and just the angst, the frustration. You know, I can't say, personally, I can't say that I've had, you know, great rejection of, you know, my parents, you know, my dad and mom have been married for more than 60 years. You know, so I've had a fairly healthy upbringing. You know, maybe you're in that category. And if you are, the news for us is that there's other people that need to hear this, and we can help them if we present Jesus to them. Okay, you following with me? So if you haven't been, get healed and then help others. And if you don't need that great deep healing, then just help others anyway. Let's just look to Jesus, okay? You know, the other one is sorrows and griefs. I look at despising and rejection. That's kind of what people do to you, which you really can't control that, but you can control your reaction to it. When it talks about sorrows and griefs, I think more about a grieving parent. A couple weeks ago, we went to a funeral of a young man that was murdered. You know, so the mother and the grandparents were there, and, you know, that's a grieving of the loss of something. And again, in a group this big, I'm sure that it's a terrible thing when a parent has to bury their their kids or even their grandkids, even worse. But I think about God the Father when his first son, Adam, rejected him, sin, death entered the world through one man's transgression. I think of Jesus and his relationship to the church, his relationship to Israel. I was blown away by Richard Romero. He's our divorce care person in charge of divorce care. He was sharing his own testimony of experience with divorce. And then he said something that hit me, and I looked at the scripture, and it's true. He said, God is a divorcee. In what sense? In the sense that God issued a decree of divorce to unfaithful Israel. You know, in a group this big, again, in the society that we live in, you know, divorce, there's never an easy divorce. It's like taking a piece of plywood and trying to rip it. You know, you can't. The two shall become one, and then it's taken away. That to me is the sorrows and the griefs. But again, God himself. What about Jesus when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, so God the Father had sorrow, grief for the loss of his first son, Adam. God the Father for his bride, Israel, unfaithful, idolatrous. When it uses the word adulterous, it's not just in the Old Testament talking about Israel. It's not just talking about the sexual sin of adultery. It's talking about turning your love towards another lover in that sense of the word adultery. And Israel had been adulterous, had gone after other idols. And then Jesus with the Father, you know, so there's sorrows and griefs that Jesus bore. You can see, you know, if you go back over Isaiah 53, you'll see it again. And then the last one, it kind of comes in pairs, rejected, despised, sorrows and griefs. The last one is transgressions and iniquities. These are things that we have done against God. I mentioned last week about the Ten Commandments. You know, sin is breaking God's moral law. If you were here last week, we saw God holy, holy, holy. I mentioned last week, it still hits me that the Bible doesn't say, I know God is love, but the Bible never says God is love, love, love. It says he is holy, holy, holy. The Bible doesn't say God is just. I know he's just, he's perfect, but when it says three times, holy, holy, holy. When it says it's twice, Martha, Martha, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Saul, Saul, he's trying to get your attention. It's like big letters. It's like underlining. It's like bold when he says it twice. When he says it three times, his holiness is, he's so far separate, so far removed from us. And just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the holiness of God, he said, woe is me, I'm a sinful man, I have sinful lips, I live amongst the people of sinful lips as well. And so when it talks about transgressions, iniquities, our sin, our breaking God's law, disobedience. And I would just hope that even the Holy Spirit right now would speak to us. And if there's things that you're doing that are breaking God's laws, there's covetousness, lying, cheating, whatever it might be, I'm not here to accuse, but mostly to point us to Jesus, who is the Savior. I so like Isaiah 53, 6, where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way, all of us. But then it says, the Lord has caused the sin of us all to be laid upon. It's kind of like, you know, this is a little iPad. I don't know how much memory I have here, but let's just say that all my sin were here. And so this is weighing me down. Your sin separates you from God. God is holy and pure. Even Isaiah 59 says your sin has made a barrier. And so here's God. I try to get to God. I can't because if this was all my sins, from the time I took the cookie when my mom told me not to, the time I cheated on the test, the time I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at, you know, from when I was 2 years old and up until yesterday, up until, you know, 2 hours ago, whatever it might be, you know, this is weighing me down, and I try to get to God, but I can't because there's a barrier here. Actually, it's an infinite barrier. It'd be like trying to swim from Miami to Europe. Nobody can do it in their own strength. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon. Jesus was pure and holy.
never sinned. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. How does that leave us now? It's not my righteousness. It's not my good works. But I put my faith in Christ. And I'm pure and I'm holy right now. Because of him. Because of what he did. So the results of his suffering is our righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf. That's when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now I can have relationship with the Father. So the result of his suffering, first of all, is forgiveness. That means that everything I've done in the past is forgotten about. It's just a new clean slate. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sin from us. That's what he's done for you. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Even as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Forgiveness. Healing. Pastor Donnie mentioned it. Healing. God is here to heal. I was getting nervous. You're like stealing my message. It's the same Holy Ghost. That's right. Healing. What this passage says is by his stripes we are healed. We have been healed. The provision of God is not just a provision for, you know, pie in the sky beyond this life, but it's here now. It's healing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much sickness is there in heaven? I want to call that down. I want to live in as if I were living in heaven right now. Healing. There's promises of healing. If you need healing tonight, I believe our Lord is here to heal. These signs will follow those who believe, will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. He sends forth his word to heal you as well. There's healing. And the last one we're going to look at is peace. It talks about in Isaiah 53, it talks about peace. There is a place of peace. And peace is not the absence of conflict, but peace is knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. There's a peace that passes all understanding. We can have peace with God. Even that barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, the hostility between us and God because we were enemies of God, that's broken in Jesus. We can have peace with God. And as well, I believe we can have the peace of God. You know, if there's difficulties. I know that in the life that we live, there's a thousand things that you got to do. And upcoming, there's bills, there's all kinds of stuff. But I think that if we let our request be made known unto God, we don't have to be anxious about anything. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Can you see the greatness of Jesus tonight? Can you see his power? Can you see how his, as a result of his suffering? I'm not saying that we won't suffer. But if you have suffered in the past, I think there's a place of healing for you. If you've been rejected in the past, there's a place of acceptance with Jesus. We're accepted in the Beloved. And like I said, you know, I came here to worship. And after seeing the greatness of Jesus, I'm wondering, can you guys help me out? Can we worship again, Diana? Can you come on up here again? It's just a moment to worship. Let's all stand up. And I'm trusting as well that it's, you know, the Lord is looking for true worshipers that worship him in spirit and in truth. It might not be our custom here. I might be breaking all the liturgy and all the protocol here. You know, it's supposed to be three songs and a prophecy and the offering and the message. Thank you guys for staying here. But I think our Lord is worth it. Yes. Amen. Let's worship him. Amen. No one cares. as we continue to worship, if you need healing, whether that's healing in your physical body or just healing in your soul, your emotions, healing from the past, I'd like to invite you just to come down here. Pastor Donnie, some of our other ministry team members as well, come on down. And let's just continue to worship. But if you need healing, we're going to be down here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that our King, who was rejected, is going to offer acceptance. We're going to believe that our King, who was despised, is going to bring faith and encouragement. And the one who was wounded, he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes, those 39 lashes that Jesus received before dying on the cross for our sins, by his stripes we are healed. So let's continue to worship.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh.
Victory.
victory does belong to you. Just even as you rose again from the grave and you defeated the greatest enemy, which is death. And I thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, thank you that none of the experience of our lives, good and bad, have escaped your notice. That you have been there with us and you're able to heal us in all ways. Lord, we thank you for your anointing, your presence that's here. Thank you that even as we worship you, as we contemplate your glory, we're being transformed and we go from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Many of you know it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let's praise him.
Hallelujah.
Now this, you know, this same presence of the Lord. And some of you might be feeling like, I don't know if I should stay or if I should leave. This is just so weird. You know, if it's your first time and you think this is just, these crazy people, you know. But at the same time, it's almost irresistible. It's the presence of the Lord. He's here with us. And he'll be with us again on Sunday. We're going to have Friends and Family Day. This is what the world needs. This is the presence of the Lord. To know Jesus, to let him minister to us. You know, this is what your friends, your family, your neighbors need. So invite them again. You know, I know we've said it once and again and again and again, but just, well, this is what we're bringing them into. It's the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much. And Lord, even as we go from this place, we're not going from your presence. Even as Pastor James prays so often, Lord, I pray that you'd keep us in the center of your will and as the apple of your eye. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are dismissed. May the Lord bless you and make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you.